We are here live this beautiful Monday, December 19th, 2016. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
And I want to thank you all for joining us this afternoon. And we're going to go ahead and get to the market report today. So I hope you folks aren't too confused. I'm not sure how much of the market report from Friday was on there, but
We have a new and improved market report.
We have a new and improved.
Well, this is direct from the federal government.
It's approved for gold, not so much for the other white metals. So we have gold up 430 today, 430 for gold today, and it should be roaring. Are you kidding me? We're going to talk about some of the things that are happening around the world. I mean, the world has been explosive today and overnight, and a lot of strange things are happening. Gold should be up 100. But anyway, we'll take 430 on the day, 1139.90. I'm just going to say 1140. Silver was down 11 cents today at 1606. Platinum was down 10 at 920, along with palladium down 17 at $683. The USDX today, it's Monday, 0.31 to the upside at 103.12. 103.12, that's funny. Crude oil down. I'm just all confused getting this late start. Crude oil up 0.11, 52.01, and it's all Al's fault.
Because crude oil? are you saying it's my fault that crude oil is the price
change? It's all your fault. Mm-hmm. Your fault. Have to blame somebody. It's your fault. Okay. And paper markets today, the Dow was up 40 points today at 19,883. The NASDAQ up 20 at 54.57. The S&P up 5 at 22.62. 10-year yield dropped a little bit, 2.54% on the yield, down 0.05. Euro still holding 104, and just a lot of strange things are happening here and around the world. Of course, today is December 19th, and I don't know who, if anyone, is holding their breath as far as the electors' decisions today. I can't imagine anyone would think that the outcome would be any different than what we expect it to be. Didn't know if you want to talk about that first, Al, or if you wanted to talk about some of the things that are going on and around the world.
Well, the Electoral College is, at least as of this morning and over the weekend and perhaps during last week, it should be close to the forefront of most people's, Americans' consciousness, wondering if Hillary still has a shot here. The argument is that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by a significant margin, and there is a finding allegedly by the CIA and FBI that Russia used hacking to try to influence the election, and some people think this is sufficient to justify the electors in the Electoral College to change their vote and not vote for Trump and vote for someone other than Trump, not necessarily Hillary, but who else would they vote for, and essentially steal the election here at the last moment from Trump and give it to Hillary. Now, people have been concerned about that, and I've got an article here that deals with it, and it points out it gives us some information on the Electoral College that's interesting. But one of the things that's perhaps most interesting is it says the voting process is open to the press, right? Which means that the Electoral College voting process, somebody's there from the newspaper reporting what's happening, right? And it says the earliest results will likely come in after 10 a.m. Eastern time and the latest around 7 p.m. Eastern time. So what we can assume is that they are voting on the East Coast just as we do in regular elections, and then we're moving to the Midwest and then Rocky Mountains and finally to the West Coast in the different states for the Electoral College. And insofar, if the process is open to the press and the earliest results will likely come in after 10 a.m., 5 hours ago, then we should have seen if there were people who were abandoning their vote. Electors were saying, no, I'm not voting for Trump. I know I should, but I'm not going to. If there was any significant degree of people being faithless, it's a term they're using for these electors being faithless and voting for Hillary or voting for whoever other than Trump where they're supposed to be voting, we should have started to hear of it. If the press is there watching the votes being cast or recording the votes from 10 a.m. this morning, we should have heard that, oh my gosh, all of the electors in Virginia have posted their votes for Hillary. Right? We should have seen evidence of the change from early on this morning and certainly by now. And so far as I know, I haven't seen anything in the news to indicate that any of the electors are changing their votes, or at least a significant number. If they're not doing it on the East Coast, they're not doing it in the Midwest, we'll wait and see what happens in Rocky Mountains and the West Coast. But if they really wanted to make this happen, the people on the left who wanted to prevent Trump from being elected, they would have had to have made serious progress. And it would have been demonstrated, almost certainly would have been demonstrated by now, that somebody, that the East Coast was turning their back on Trump. Because it would lay, for one, it would give us an indication of what was going to happen as we moved across the nation. For another, if they could get the East Coast to betray Trump right now, then the Midwest and the Rocky Mountains and the East and the West Coast would be more likely to join in what might be a bandwagon of sorts. But insofar as we haven't heard about this, I haven't at least, I haven't heard of anyone changing their votes on the East Coast, then I've got to assume that there's not having much, that the idea of electors changing their vote from Trump to someone else is not particularly viable. We don't have real numbers. I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm assuming that this report, which was from Good Morning America, is accurate, where it says the voting process is open to the press and the earliest results are likely to come in after 10 a.m. in the morning on the East Coast side. What else they have? Anything else? I think that's probably the most important point. That's probably the most important point on it. It hasn't happened so far on the East Coast, and as we move through the time zones, probably isn't going to happen to any significant degree across the country. There's one man in Texas who has allegedly changed his vote. One Republican changed his vote, said, I can't vote for Trump because he's concerned about the Russians having an influence on the election, and therefore he can't vote for Trump. But other than that, I don't think there's been a significant change, and I don't think there's likely to be significant change from the number of people who were pledged to Trump and the number of electors who will jump ship and say, no, I'm not voting for Trump. So I'm going to presume pretty much what everyone else has presumed up until now: Trump will be the president-elect. But you know another thing about it? Congress controls this. Ultimately, Congress certifies the election, and they don't really certify it until January 6th, right? When it counts the electors' votes. Now, again, assuming the report from Good Morning America is accurate and the voting process is open to the press, then the press should know right now how many people on the East Coast are changing their vote from Trump to someone else. Right. Assuming that is accurate, the election's a done deal. But if it turns out that the election is not open to the press, if that's a mistake, then we won't really know who's won this election until January 6th. Which, if turns out the Congress reports on January 6th, oh my gosh, a whole bunch of these electors, more than 37, have changed their minds and they're not voting for Trump, and this election has gone to Hillary, or it's at least been thrown into the House of Representatives. I'm curious which House of Representatives is going to cast their votes? The existing House of Representatives or the new one that's coming, that's incoming? I don't know that it makes a lot of difference. The Republicans dominate in both cases, and I'm going to presume that the Republican congressmen are not dumb enough to throw the election away from Trump. I don't think they dare do that, but again, this is one of those elections. It's like watching a fine horror film, all right, where the creature, you just can't seem to kill the creature. Every time you think you got it, it comes back and it gets somebody else. This election is not truly going to be over until January 6th. So, I don't know what to say about that. Give you something to think about during the Christmas holidays. If you don't have other things to think about, you can contemplate the possibility that January 6th may or may not.
Well, I think probably to me what I viewed is the most important idea that has come out of this situation after the election is the general populace truly learned how the election works.
That may be.
I can't tell you how many folks I've spoken to when I says, well, yeah, we have to, you know, December 19th. Oh, what are you talking about? That's crazy. You know, the election is done when it's done. No, and then you just kind of let them find out for their, you know, for themselves how it works and so forth. But so the general populace, I really do believe, have learned how a true election works, and that certainly it just isn't over on that first week in November, and they've learned the process of it. So,
and they've all undoubtedly asking questions about it. I mean, some of this really is strange. This whole Electoral College, you know, you think you have an election, the election should be determined in a certain way. It turns out maybe not.
Well, the big question is this something where, you know, people will try to change the Constitution to change this process back to the popular vote type of an election. So I think we need to be careful, and you know, we can disagree with the way the election is now held and the process of it and the finality of it, and you know, even going into January 6th. But on the other hand, you know, what is the type of system that, you know, do we change it, or we keep it the same? I think I'm not sure, but it might have perhaps there have been changes along the way and so forth. I know lots of times the states will change, you know, how their votes are collected and so forth, and that can happen. But
I think what's changed is the way America exists today as compared to the way it was back in 1788 when this Constitution was ratified by the people.
Doesn't mean it should be changed.
Well, but there's some things that doesn't mean it needs to be kept as is also. Is the Electoral College still a necessary... Is it still a necessary attribute of our elections? It was perhaps necessary and a good idea 200 years ago. Is it still a good idea today? Do we still need the Electoral College? And I don't have an answer for that. I don't know that there's necessarily something wrong with it, but it does open a door where, under certain circumstances, we might get somebody that was just completely different from who we wanted and voted for. In theory, if the Electoral College worked in concert to betray the public's decision as reflected in the election, they could. Now, mostly they just rubber stamp, and whatever the public says, that's what the Electoral College says. And do we need them to rubber stamp? Do they give us additional protection, or do they create an additional opportunity for something strange to happen?
But we know anything that changes from here on out wouldn't be for the good. So I would be.
Yeah, that's one thing about it. I'm inclined to work with it rather than eliminate it.
Yes, leave it the way it is. Because once you start changing the Constitution, no matter what, once it becomes a, oh wow, you know, we can change it, you know, you're going to see a lot of other changes come too.
That's so. One thing about it. If we were to hold a constitutional convention to change one element of the Constitution, you can bet that there would be organized movements at that convention to change other elements in the Constitution, and probably it wouldn't be in our best interest to do that. Better just leave it alone, or God knows what's going to happen. So, Melody, we are close. We've got 20 seconds to go.
Oh.
Anything you'd like to say in the next 20 seconds, or should we have another technical difficulty?
No, I did want to touch on some things that are happening around the world. And, of course, there's also a new cabinet pick from Mr. Trump, a Mick Mulvaney. He is going to...
Sounds Irish. But we'll talk about Mr. Mulvaney and the rest of the cabinet picks and the news around the world when we return in a moment to Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I'm humming. So, and what I wanted to talk about was Donald Trump's, he nominated Mick Mulvaney. He's a Republican congressman as a budget director. Now he's going to be ahead of the OMB. And this is interesting because he believes that America's $20 trillion debt is too big. It needs to come down. So he's sort of on the other ends of Mr. Trump. So it should be pretty interesting because Mr. Trump wants to spend money and Mulvaney doesn't. And so you got a little, he wants to cut down our budget and try to think. So it'll be interesting, but I think Donald Trump has you know, certainly has understood the, how high our debt is, and
well, it may be that he's
trying
to. It may be that he's using Mulvaney to cut the existing budget in order to come up with funds to fund infrastructure, rebuilding the infrastructure without actually having to raise taxes or borrow more money.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Maybe that's what the budget director is up. It's said, all right, you know, whittle away at this thing and see how much money you can give me that I can use for infrastructure rather than using for, who knows, you know, you can put your whatever they think is unnecessary or excessive. Now, how much money can they take away from people who don't have much political voice? Can we eliminate subsidies for the rich? Can we eliminate welfare for the poor? Can we eliminate what? And then we'll have some extra money that we don't have to tax, we don't have to borrow, we'll have money for infrastructure. That might be the way he's thinking about it.
Well, it'll be interesting come March because they'll have to deal with the debt ceiling. And Mulvaney has voted no before against raising the debt ceiling. He voted no in 2011. And so it'll be interesting come March when this debt ceiling has to be addressed. He will have to appeal to Congress to keep that debt ceiling at bay so they can keep borrowing and pay all the debts that we have already promised. So that's why I always thought... March should prove to be a little interesting. Will they just, you know, go along with the program, do what's necessary, and kick that can down the road another 6 months? But also they're going to have to deal with the government's budget because they've April 28th, they did a quick passing to fund the government just until April 28th. So there's going to be a couple little things coming up this first quarter of 2017 that I think should prove interesting, and we should be able to determine just how much of those that infrastructure spending will get done. So,
well, it's just going to barely get started by then.
Well, I don't know, but there'll be some other. It's true. I mean, a lot of the infrastructure spending, but there'll be a lot of talk and a lot of the, you know, there's supposed to be a lot done in the first 100 days, which takes us up to, you know, March and April. So we'll just see what actually can get done and what can't. There's been a number of firms worldwide that have defaulted this year. It has reached 150 corporate firms that have defaulted this year, 150, up more than 40% year on year, making 2016 the worst year for corporate stress since the height of the global financial crisis. And this was from the ratings firm S&P, Standard & Poor's. The S&P data showed that two defaults last week by U.S.-based firms had brought up that milestone and taken the U.S. only count to 99, or two-thirds of the overall total. Just over 40%, or 63, had been by oil and gas firms, with 50 of those also in the U.S. Emerging markets had accounted for 28 defaults overall, followed by Europe on 12. So the default count has already surpassed the total number of defaults recorded in the full year of 2015, which was 113, and it's almost 42% higher than the count at this time in 2015.
We have two more weeks to go.
The last time the global tally was higher at this point in the year was in 2009, when it reached 265 during the financial crisis. Let's see if there's anything else interesting here. Of the 150 defaulters so far in 2016, 56 issuers defaulted because of missed principal, interest, or coupon payments, 40 due to distressed debt exchanges, and 18 upon bankruptcy filings, while 14 were for confidential reasons. Now, I think that's, we're just not going to tell you it's confidential. Most exactly. likely they were involved
confidential
in some sort
reasons.
Of a,
yeah, because a because the officers extorted too much money out of the corporate.
No, no, I don't figure it's that. I figured it's confidential reasons were government reasons, you know, for you know, maybe some ties to government officials, but
the fundamental reason is they're out of money.
They're out of money.
Their,
but
their
you can still have the ties to the government.
Their debts exceed their income and their revenue, and they've got a problem.
The default trend is likely to continue next year. S&P said it expects the U.S. corporate trailing 12-month speculative grade debt default to rise to 5.1% by September 2017. Let's see. There was also some other interesting information. There was, I believe, today the U.S. charges Platinum Partners executives with a $1 billion fraud. Top executives of New York-based hedge fund manager Platinum Partners were arrested today and charged with running an approximately $1 billion fraud that federal prosecutors said became like a Ponzi scheme. Just like everything else.
A Ponzi scheme?
Just like a Ponzi scheme.
Sounds like the Federal Reserve.
Gee whiz. And these guys actually did get arrested.
They must not have been bribing congressmen much very lately. That would never happen if they'd been paying their bribes to our Congress and Senate. The
guy's name is Mark Nordlich. He was the founding partner, chief investment officer. He was arrested today. Let's see if there's any other interesting. There's a 48-page indictment said since 2012, Nordlich and four other defendants defrauded investors by overvaluing illiquid assets held by its flagship Platinum Partners Value Arbitrage Fund LP. Mostly it was in the energy-related investments. Let's see if there's anything else interesting in there. The indictment said the scheme involved using a group of reinsurance companies called Beechwood, partially controlled by Platinum's principals, to rig a bond vote and pay the hedge fund manager ahead of creditors. Of course, why else wouldn't they? This company was actually founded in 2003. Platinum, until this year, had more than $1.7 billion under management with more than 600 investors. Its value arbitrage fund reported average returns of more than 17% from its inception, according to prosecutors. Well, that should tell you a lot right there. The average returns of 17%.
That's in Madoff territory. As soon as you start seeing those kinds of returns, you say, ha, 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 the son of Bernie Madoff must be running this, or the grandson, or someone who at least studied and idolized Bernie Madoff, and they're trying to make off with a bunch of money themselves. But,
there was a lot of series of investigations dealing with Platinum. The firm hired an independent monitor in July to unwind its funds, and a Cayman Island court in August placed its main offshore funds into liquidation. So there's
that
always
inspires confidence when I see an investment firm operating out of the Cayman Islands. That strikes me as evidence of real monetary security.
So again, folks, the signs are usually there. You're going to see a lot more of these in the near future. When we first started talking about the number of firms worldwide that are defaulting, you're going to see a lot more of these hedge funds. Usually, probably around the billion, maybe not the you know, 20 billion companies or so forth. But a lot of these firms, you'll see where. I don't think they have your best interest at heart.
No, they have their interests at heart. And by their, I mean people that are running the corporation and whatever. Not the shareholders' best interests, not the public's best interest for sure, but the best interests of the chief financial officer, the CEO, and so on. They have interests, that's for sure. Not necessarily your interests, but some interests.
Couple of the we had the Russian ambassador. He was assassinated in Turkey today.
Yep.
And the gunman was an off-duty police officer. And I guess they were at an art gallery. And this guy ran in. I heard there was like four people that were actually down. And made statements about Aleppo. Praised Allah. And I guess he has been neutralized following the attack. And I'm sure everyone has heard about it and has read about it and so forth. But it's kind of, you know, in itself, I can't imagine what Russia's going to do. I mean, they're not going to sit back and just let this go.
There's not much they can do, but it will build a fire under however many Russians are angry at Turkey in the first place. There'll be more people in Russia that are critical of Turkey, and there'll be more people in Russia who work. They say, look what happened. We lost our ambassador because of messing around in Syria. We started World War I with someone shot the Archduke Ferdinand, and one guy got shot. Next thing we know, we had World War I. I don't know that this world is as fragile today as it was back 100 years ago. Maybe it's more fragile, I don't know, but it's the sort of thing that you look at, and it could go out of control, but it's not likely to. Shot an ambassador. They'll get somebody else to be ambassador, you know. Won't go out in public as much.
But I think the with what we see happening in Syria and so forth, I think that is very interesting, and it concerns me. It concerns me. There was also a truck that slammed into Berlin Christmas market. I think they killed at least 9 dead, dozens are injured. There was reports of some sort of a flashback where ISIS and Al-Qaeda had planned holiday market attacks. So don't know if this is in relationship or it's just, it just seems like it's all happening, you know, kind of all at once. You had Christine.
Maybe there'll be, and perhaps it's the beginning of something. Now, whether this is coordinated or just coincidental remains to be seen, but perhaps the Christmas season celebrated by the West is going to be marred by the Muslim season for winter terrorism. We'll watch and see. Maybe we have a movement. Maybe we have just a couple of coincidental instances here right now. We'll watch
and see. I think they're just incidences, but I think, you know, it's just... I don't know, the timing is just kind of bizarre. You had Christine Lagarde today. She was found guilty today on criminal charges because of misuse of public funds. But there's no fine. You're guilty. But go enjoy the rest of your life.
Yeah, have a happy holiday.
Have a nice day.
And you we know, don't expect you people in public office to actually be liable. Just because you're doing things that are wrong, if you're connected, it's okay. Now, if you were poor, that would be different. If you're middle class, that would be different. But if you're connected, you know, I mean, she probably knows as much about what's going on in the world as Hillary Clinton. There's a certain danger in how many people could she expose if things had gone badly for her. She is found guilty, so I guess maybe I'm not. You know, it's easy to make fun of these things, and maybe the fun is valid, and maybe the fun is unwarranted. But we have a system that does not inspire confidence.
You know what's funny is after she was in court last week and the decision was supposed to be released today, she comes to Washington. You know, she comes to Washington to where she knows she'll probably be protected. Since we know the IMF, you know, the U.S. is, you know, pretty much the controller of that. But I guess perhaps they could seek her resignation of the IMF. Maybe
she's
would
a little
even volunteer.
Melody. Doesn't mean we can. That's discrimination to throw people out of office just because they're corrupt.
Maybe she could volunteer to resign, but you know, most either situation is most likely unlikely. And she was just approved for her second 5-year term.
Well, maybe so she stopped in checking her options. She might be able to get a job with the Clinton Foundation.
Or maybe with Goldman Sachs.
No, that's right. She'd fit right into the corporate culture of either one of those institutions. They're corrupt. She's corrupt. You know, it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, but it's expected that the IMF's board, which is usually the biggest groups on that board, is Europe and the United States. They'll get behind her. That's why she came to Washington to make sure that she keeps her. But it was interesting. I didn't really know where she started out as, and she was actually an attorney in Chicago. That's
really?
Yeah, she was an attorney.
Christine Lagarde
in a large law firm in Chicago. Yeah. Yep.
There's a surprise.
Yeah. So
I mean, how did she ever become unethical or corrupt? I mean, growing up in Chicago, involved in the legal system of Chicago, that would have been honorable and ethical to participate in that system.
She was a big corporate antitrust or, you know, type attorney. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't a trial.
Okay.
Attorney.
She'd rather settle than fight.
Yeah, I suppose.
All right.
But it was interesting, though. And of course, the big problem that she had, where she ended up in court, had to do with that big sports company, Adidas. So,
all right, folks, we're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, you are next.
I'm next.
You're next.
Well, you know, one of the things that's kind of interesting, Trump is recruiting from the big business. All right? It appears that he is getting the people that he knows, likes, in big business to take positions of power within the new Trump administration. And it raises a warning bell for everybody who voted for Trump because they thought he was anti-establishment. He seems to be recruiting establishment people to occupy positions of power in his administration. And so we have to wonder what's really going on, and it's cause for concern among a number of people. And I don't know what's going to happen. But it may be that there are, you know, as in anything else, you have good people in corporations and you have bad people in corporations. It may be that the hustlers, the con artists, the bad people in the corporate America have tended to be overly represented in government over the past however many years you want to look backwards. Maybe. I'm not saying this is happening, but I'm saying maybe there's another group of corporate executives up there that are as antagonistic to this establishment as the populists are in this country. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's true. I'm not even saying it's likely. But I'm saying there's a possibility that Trump is somehow looking out for finding the guys that want to run the country properly and not just to make a fast buck for themselves and their families and their friends. Is that going to happen? I don't know. But it's possible, so it crosses my mind, and it's something that's worth presenting to the public, and maybe you can make of it what you like. Here's another.
I get a lot of people get upset with me because
not
I just
me, Melody.
Because I just try to view things as, you know, yes, I'm skeptic, very much so, and I think there can be some good that will come from this. It is not the same status quo that has been thrown down our throats for how many years and years and decades. So it is different. Kind of makes it a little exciting. Kind of makes you, you know, we're going to see things happen. But I think we also have to be careful what we ask for. And I don't believe that you can have billionaires running a country because we know they never have enough. They always want a little more. I mean, I'm sorry, but they do. That doesn't mean it can't be good for the country, but ultimately, I mean, I just don't feel comfortable. I heard Newt Gingrich talking. He was being interviewed on a radio program when I was going to the post office today. And I was really quite surprised at his concerns with the conflict of interest. And he says, we've never had a person this wealthy in office before. And he says, there's big concerns. And he says, Congress is going to have to really keep an eye and control a lot of the and to avoid these conflicts of interest, he says that is most certainly going to happen. And I was surprised at his big concern after we saw how he was so, Donald's biggest promoter on media, whether it be TV and radio, and he was actually voicing his concerns about the wealth, the amount of wealth that is involved with one man being in the position that he is in. So it was an interesting conversation, particularly coming from Newt Gingrich. And I think there's a lot of things, and I get it that you hear everyone say, well, it's better than the politicians. Well, you know, you can view it differently. You can still have the same outcome. You can just, you know, be going down a different road. And but a lot of this, yes, we'll just have to see what happens. I heard someone talking about VAT taxes. You know, there won't so much be the the tariffs, but they'll have VAT placed on items and so forth. So again, it's, you know, there might be great tax.
And you're talking about being placed on items that are coming in as components for products that are assembled in the United States.
We pay for, so yeah. So it's, there's so, and until something actually gets done, all of this is speculation, possibilities, and so forth. But it,
well, you know, one thing I look at with Trump, Trump seems to be a family man. Despite the fact he's been married a number of times, Trump seems to be a family man in the sense that I think he really does care about his children. And Trump, as wealthy as he is, and it has to be second nature to him to grab whatever money is available to be grabbed, he's got something else that a typical politician doesn't have. He has the Trump brand, all right, on his buildings, I don't know, on his golf courses, whatever else, his casinos, there's the Trump brand. He has to think to himself that if he does something and he gets caught doing something that's corrupt, dishonest, dishonorable, whatever, it's going to impact that Trump brand. It's going to impact his fortune. It's going to impact his family. And I get the impression that this guy really does care about his kids. He's done, generally speaking, he appears to have done a surprisingly good job of raising children that are, among other things, drug-free, at least most of them. Right, I don't think he's going to. He doesn't need the money. All right, it's not like he's, well, Mr. Trump, I got a $50,000 bond,
he
a bribe
need
for
it,
you.
Al,
he's going to say, buzz off. I don't.
He doesn't
need,
need it, but he wants it. There's,
well, maybe so, but still, he, you know, he also wants to leave something to his children. If he messes this up, his children are going to be laughing stocks for much of the rest of their lives. They're going to have something like the Monica Lewinsky effect is going to be attached to his children, and they will be discredited in a way that can, it will hurt their lives. I don't mean it can't be overcome, but instead of it, it will reduce how great they might otherwise become. Right? I think he's got, and I think that's the sort of thing that may keep him on the up and up. Maybe yes, maybe no.
I don't think it has anything to do with his children. I think it has a lot to do with his name, Trump. And you're right. You know, it is a brand. It is a brand.
And it's not the same as most
but
politicians.
But I also believe he has the ego that whenever he does something, he wants to do it right. And, you know, and I think now that he's president of the United States, I think president-elect, he will want to do the best that he can do.
I think that's probably the case.
I don't think it has anything. I don't think it has anything to do with his family. I don't think it has anything to do. I think it has everything to do with him wanting to do the best that he can do.
Well, he's working with his legacy right now. He's not a young man.
He wants to be the best president this country has ever had.
Yeah,
there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of motivation. Various. I'm not so sure. It's just the country. I don't think it's the country that wants to make him be the best president ever. But he wants to be the best president ever. And I think there's various denominators in there that, you know, that will be
affected. All of this stuff is true. I mean, I don't doubt he wants to be the best president. I also don't doubt that he wants to leave a legacy for his children. He's involving his children, at least he seems to be, bringing them closer to Washington politics. It's not as if he says, I'm going off to be president, and you kids stay back here and go do drugs or whatever it is you kids do these days. The family's going, except for his wife.
They're going to be a political family.
No, I understand. I understand
so,
that.
So, you know, if it's going to be another dynasty, well, you know how we look about the Bushes. And yeah, so it was just something we can't predict the future. So
Kennedy's.
We have to.
Kennedy's. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know.
All you can do is hope.
Hope.
All right? It does seem that politics, You know, they say power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. I don't know that he has absolute power or anyone else is going to have absolute power. But the closer you get, the deeper you get into politics, the more likely you are to be exposed to and tempted by opportunities to behave in a way that's corrupt.
And again, I'm hopeful.
The temptations are, I'm sure they're hard to resist. Hard to go. I'm going to Mr. Smith goes to Washington. They had that movie. Mr.
That
Smith goes to Washington.
Those guys
it should
don't
be Mr. Smith
it.
Goes to Washington and keeps his integrity. Now there's science fiction for you, Melody.
Again, I'm hopeful, and you know it's exciting.
No,
it's actually exciting. It's exciting because it's not going to be the status quo. Hopefully, and there'll be. Something's going to be happening, whether it's good or not.
Yeah, I understand
it's
that.
Better it's better than just, well, he's out golfing again today.
And there'll be people watching him full time. And when I mean people, I don't just mean Secret Service.
Critics,
I mean the American public will be watching every move he makes. Because as much as we hope, we also distrust. And therefore, we're going to be watching him closely. He's going to be, it's not going to be a situation, elect him, and now we can forget about politics for at least 2 years and probably four before we have another presidential election. We don't have to pay any attention. We can watch Dancing with the Stars. I would say that Trump will inspire a lot of people to pay closer attention to whatever's going on in our economic and political system. And it's not just Trump, it's because we are in difficult circumstances regardless of who would be elected. Right? We've got problems facing us right now that are going to demand our attention. They're going to demand our attention. It's not going to be, oh, isn't that interesting? No, it isn't just a matter of living in interesting times. We are increasingly living in what may be dangerous times, and because of that, we will focus, right? Even if we don't want to, we're going to focus. What are they up to today? You'd be getting out of bed in the morning and say, all right, what have they done today? What are they up to this time? And we'll be watching them, and they'll be watching us too. So interesting times, dangerous times. We'll watch and see where it goes.
Yes.
I've got one here. Here's a little item. Here, Bill Clinton was quoted in, here's the headline, Bill Clinton, Trump knows how to get angry white men to vote for him. This is at Yahoo News. It says a new editorial for a small New York newspaper reports that former President Bill Clinton was quoted as saying, while Donald Trump doesn't know much, he does know how to get angry white men to vote for him. Clinton also said FBI Director James Comey cost his wife the election. Two separate things here. First off, it may be that Trump knows how to get angry white men to vote for him. But it's also true that Bill and Hillary Clinton know how to make white men angry. The Clintons and people like them created the angry white men who supported Trump. They didn't just, those angry white men, to whatever extent that's true, they didn't just, you know, get some bad drinking water or whatever and suddenly burst loose. They have been building for perhaps a couple of decades. And we finally had a candidate that could take advantage of that concern, that anger among these alleged angry white men. And you can't just say they didn't just spring up, they didn't, you know, land here from Mars or something. They were created by Bill and Hillary Clinton and others from their end of the political spectrum. So as for the second point, Clinton also said that FBI Director James Comey cost his wife the election. You know, a lot of people were saying that Comey was going to cost Trump the election. Because the first thing he said was, he said, oh my gosh, Hillary's innocent. There's nothing going on here. And half the country said, Comey, you crook, you treasonous SOB. She's guilty. She belongs in prison. And he said, no, there's nothing happening here. They thought he was giving the election to Hillary. And then he came back and he intervened again 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever it was before the election, and raised issues a second time, and now Bill Clinton says FBI Director James Comey cost Hillary the election. Truth is, Hillary cost Hillary the election. The woman had not managed to keep her skirts clean over the past 10, 20 years. She thought she was so arrogant in her own way that she thought she could get away with anything. And in the end, she couldn't quite pull it off. And if Bill wants to blame anybody for losing the election, he ought to blame Hillary. But I'll bet you that he values his own physical safety more, too much to say, Hillary, you blew it. He isn't going to blame her. Something's going to fly through the air and maybe hit him in the head again. And he's been through that in the past. I don't think he wants another dose of it. So, who do you think is responsible for Hillary losing, Melody? It's not you and me, you know, for sure.
I really don't even care who's responsible. Do you?
Well, I do.
I don't really care. Uh-huh. You know, I think she thought it was a shoo-in.
Yeah, I know.
I think she was promised the position, and so, you know.
Blew it. She blew it. That's what came down.
Yep.
We're out of time, folks. We have to thank you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my